new year brings a new beginning. For all my listeners that owns a business, I want to tell you about FedEx Office. If you're just starting out or have been running your company for generations, FedEx Office gives you the best way to print your marketing materials, posters, signage, graphics, and so much more. With FedEx, creating, editing, saving, and ordering are fast and easy. We are teaming up with FedEx to bring our listeners 30% of your next order of $100 or more at podgo.co/FedEx. That is podgo.co/FedEx for 30% of your next order. FedEx, the world on time. Hi guys, so welcome to Wild and Basic. Today is a special episode because we have a guest. I think every episode with a guest is very, very special. I mean, solo episodes are cool too, but I really, really like interacting with people, as this is the closest human interaction I'm going to get these days. So I'm so excited. But I'm also excited because today's guest is actually someone I never thought in a million years, honestly, that I would interview her. Not because, like, it was just, I just thought, like, you know, that would just never happen because our paths wouldn't, you know, like, we would never cross our paths. So, but it did. In a random event that I never thought it would happen, then it just happened. So I'm so excited for this. Her name is Gabrielle Ruiz. Most of you guys know her as Valencia Perez from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. This is like one of my favorite comedies from CW. I remember when it first came out and I was literally going through, I think, breakup, or I was just not in a good place. I was definitely going through some mental break. I don't know. I was definitely going through something. I just can't remember exactly what. So it was definitely not, I was definitely not in a good place, but I remember this show really helped me so much just to get out of my, I don't know, from that place and have the courage to just, you know, talk to people, socialize, just, you know, get back to myself and be happy. So that really helped me a lot. And I really liked Valencia Perez's character. She was so funny. She was always such a badass and, like, always good looking. I don't know. I really liked her vibe. So, and from even the event when I met, well, virtually, Gabrielle, I really liked her vibe, how chill she was, like, just like in the TV show. So I thought this would be cool to, you know, bring her into the show and talk about a little bit about her career, what she's up to, and also her mental health journey on this episode. So let's get started. I remember when I was starting this podcast, like, even just naming it, I was like, oh my God, like, I really wanted to make it something that actually matches my personality, but also, like, something my followers would actually want to listen to. Because initially I wanted to make a podcast about, like, you know, about the career and, like, building your business, stuff like that. That's what I wanted to be. But then, you know, everyone was like, oh, I want to talk about, like, life, relationships, and, like, I don't know, personal stuff. I was like, okay, let's go into it. And I remember I got this idea actually from this show that, like, you're part of, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That show literally, like, saved my life. I remember when it was airing, I was going through a breakup and, like, I was not in a good place. Like, I was definitely in, like, a bad place. And I remember I would, like, always watch and, like, laugh and, like, not feel bad about myself. Like, it would just really help me
It would just take you and escape.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
Aww.
And your character, Valencia, she was
Valencia?
Like, yeah, she was so chill, like, so, like, down to earth. I was like, oh my God.
You know, I think that's the first time everyone has described Valencia as chill. So thanks. She's pretty, usually she's like, she's a bitch. She's intense. She's severe.
For me, that, like, is actually chill because, like,
All right. Then it's a valid description for you then.
Yeah.
In that case, you can stay.
I think she was, like, intense in terms of her emotions, like, how she was, like, so, like, all the time that her reactions and everything was, like, okay. But yeah, for me, it was like, that's normal because that's literally how I deal with people sometimes. Like, so yeah. I was like, okay.
Right. You're just like, I'm not sorry. So,
yeah.
There you go. It was really fun to play her. She was, what I loved that was basic about her was how she discovered her sexuality when she met Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Willman's character Beth,
Mm-hmm.
and for it being such a song and dance show, I loved how there was no song and dance about her coming out. That to me was a brilliantly thoughtful way for our showrunners, our creators, to share what it's like to find out who you really are. You know, like there's a lot of LGBTQ plus characters have to like hold this almost torch that can be considered a burden for a character for like an entire, if you look at an entire like cast, it's like that LGBTQ person, that character like has to make this point, has to be thrown out of their house. And like those stories exist, you know, those
Yes.
stories need to be seen and have, you know, sympathy and empathy and feel like that person needs to feel seen too. But then it's really nice to see the character that's like, listen, this is it. And do you want to get some coffee? You know, like they just like moved on. And they just cut to that part where they were in love. Done. You know, for Valencia, who's so intense, she did have like, I would say, a really proactive, basic moment, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that because like that's why I liked so show so much because like it was so like normal that like oh it's just you know they like each other and like that's it. It wasn't about like oh my God some dramatic story about her you know coming
Right.
out and everything because like that's literally what we have seen on like TV which is like I feel like I get it there are so many parts of the world or even like you know in the middle of America that like that's still going on but I feel like it's so tiring to go through that process every single time, even watching it, because I feel like we
Yeah.
passed that point. Like, I want us
I'm
to
yeah.
be just make it like normal. Like, it just kind of like, do you ever just come out saying like you're straight? Like, I want us to be like just, you know what I mean? I want us to be just like regular. Like, it's just the preference. That's it.
Yes, I agree. And I think Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, our creators, Aline Brosh McKenna and Rachel Bloom, they did a really good job with doing that. And I remember Aline, you know, pulled me aside and she said, are you okay with that without not being a, you know, we're not going to give you a song about it. Because Pete Gardner's character, Daryl, had Getting By. He had this really great, like, 80s, Getting By, I'm Getting By. And like, that's one of like the most funnest songs when we did the live shows because you could see how you could see the people in the audience or fans that just felt celebrated and represented, like YMCA or Firework, Katy Perry, you know, like when that song really shows, you know, really celebrates you and you're like, that's my song. It was really cool to be a part of that too. But Valencia didn't get one and that was slay. I thought
Yes.
that was so cool too. I was
Yes.
like, yeah, she doesn't need a song. She just needs to just be her. I really am glad that you love the show and so many people adore the show. And also, Valencia had a really great growth arc in Four Seasons.
Yeah, and I think what I also loved about, and I also saw like this interview that you were mentioning it that like in the show, like Valencia character was always about her like attitude and like her personality rather than like just her heritage about like being Mexican or like then after them being like lesbian. Like, I just feel like it was never about that. It was just about her personality. And you also mentioned like how you like that like so much, which is something you know you never see so much on TV. That's why I like this so much because I feel like I can totally relate to that because I feel like I don't want us, like, I don't want people, even me, like, when they see this, like, oh, this person, he's gay or whatever. Like, I feel like I want people to define me as based on my personality, based on how they know me.
As Merce.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you don't have to define me as, like, I don't know, like, oh, he's gay or he's this or he lives here. Like, I feel like I want you to define me saying, like, oh, Merce is this kind of person. Like, stuff like that. And that's why I liked so much about like when I was reading of like that makes like that's why I liked this so much in the way they portrayed it.
I mean, I think when I met you briefly on that seminar, that what was that thing that we that where we
That
met?
was interesting. It was like a caravan
Caravan at
social
New York
club.
City's
Yeah.
social club of like vendors and product people meeting celebrities. And it's, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to an in-person one, but caravans, like parties like that, are so much fun. And when I met you, I was like, Merce is Wild and Basic. And then that was your podcast title. I mean, how did that just completely worked out? No, I'm kidding. That's not what I thought. That's not what I thought. I thought you were very sweet, very handsome, and also had like a really cool platform. And when you were asking me to come on, I was like, yes, let's do
No, thank you so much. Yes. So,
it.
You also have like doing your own podcast. Like, how was that for
I
you?
am.
Yeah, what are friends for?
Yes. What a basic title that was not taken. I can't believe it wasn't taken in the podcast land. Like, everybody has a podcast, and it's like, what are friends for? You're like, that's not done already?
You know, that was my gonna be second question. I'm like, how, like, did you, like, how did you, like, came up with that? I was like, oh, it was just available randomly because I was literally looking up so many names for my podcast because everything was taken.
Everything was taken. I joined on season two. Paula V. Sastry is my co-host and creator of the show. She developed the show with another friend on a road trip. And that other friend wanted to keep it more on a hobby level, and Paula V. really wanted to kick it up a notch. So when Sam left the show, basically, like, she gave her blessing. Paula V came up, approached me, and Paula V and I have known each other for about 15 years, and we have like a lot of like chap like every 5 years we have like a really big chapter that we kind of grow with each other. And she's always described me as her least complicated friend. And at the same time, like, living in New York, both of us lived in New York most of our 20s, so I was in New York for 10 years. And then Crazy Ex-Girlfriend brought me to Los Angeles, and I realized when I got sleep for the first time, I wasn't starving all day.
Wow.
I wasn't dehydrated, because just having coffee all day, not water, whatever. And, I settled. Like, I had time in Los Angeles versus the time that you don't have or allow yourself to have in New York because of the energy. Like, that's just the way it is there, and you love it. And I also don't miss it. As much as I loved it, I don't miss that energy because it kind of kept me a little on edge, Like, I couldn't even have coffee in New York because I was just always overly, like, angsty,
Yeah, this is something like because this is such a
Something
hot
about it.
topic. This is also such a hot topic in this podcast. Literally, I think every guest I have, because I have so many guests, like literally actors, like from LA, and I always ask them a
Get it.
question. Like they're always also like going back and forth between New York City. I always ask them a question like, what, like comparing to New York City or like LA to New York City, what do you say? Like what is your preference? Like right now you're in LA, but like what is something that you're actually missing from New York City, and what is something that you're like, oh my God, like I don't know, why am I here?
Like a lightning flash, like a lightning round for you. Listen, when I moved to, well, when I just flew over and was visiting Los Angeles for season one of Crazy Ex, because Valencia was just a guest star. So
Yes, I
she was
remember
only
that.
like
Yeah, I
with for
remember
like
that.
two episodes, and they just kept keeping me around and keeping me around. And I remember like the first weekend, first of all, I was getting paid like one day getting paid on TV, like I would get paid for a whole week on Broadway. That was
What?
first of all mind blowing. Second
Yeah.
of all, about mind blowing was like there was free food everywhere on set. Endless amounts of food. I'm a foodie. I don't
Sold.
know if anybody
Sold.
sold like free food and free coffee all the time. And like I had like a little headache, and like a medic would immediately show up. And except like versus Broadway, your leg hurts, it's falling off, get your ass on stage. Just go, because you have a 5, 6, 7, 8. That's all you got. Okay. Show must go on. And it was the week, I remember on Friday, like my first week there working on Crazy Ex, they said, all right, well, have a good weekend. See you on Monday. And I had no idea what that meant, Merce. No idea.
What?
Like, Broadway's 5 show weekends. And
Yeah,
I
exactly.
love Broadway. Disclaimer, I appreciate everything it's given me. Lin-Manuel and I did In the Heights together. He recommended me for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. He's one of my very good friends. And so, like, I just remember feeling like Stockholm syndrome, where I was kind of held captive, and then when I was free, I felt bad about it. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
like I just was like, can I have a good time? And I'm still making money. Like, I have a job on Monday,
I was like,
so I
this
can
is
actually
normal?
rest. No, I can actually, what do I do? And I talked to my manager at the time, who had some clients that were bi-coastal, and he was like, let me connect you to one of my bi-coastal actors. I'm going to have him give you a call. And he moved from Los Angeles to New York because Fiddler on the Roof was happening, and he was a part of that show. And what he said was like, listen, you cannot be a New Yorker in Los Angeles. You have to lean into it. Go out to dinner. Go hiking. Have a coffee like at 3 o'clock with a
Go to
friend.
Alfred.
Go to Alfred. He was like, he he's like, wear heels again. And I was just like, what? Like, completely mind blown. And then once I realized, like, the light switched, you know, I switched gears and tried to stop being a New Yorker. Like, I finally, like, stopped walking in Los Angeles with all, like, it's not the same for pedestrians. LA pedestrians are not New York pedestrians. You know what I mean? Get a car, rent a car. You know, enjoy, use your trunk. You don't have to carry everything on your back anymore. And it was just mind blowing to me. And then I ended up loving it. And now we live here and we're about to have a baby in Los Angeles. And
I know, congrats on that.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you mentioned these, because like, this is one thing I'm going to say, maybe you can like disagree or agree with that, because I feel like in New York, it's all about like the, you know, hustle, like one project to another. It's always like back to back. This is literally how I feel sometimes. Even like sometimes, like I feel like this is like my, like, not super busy season, then it feels still busy. But and whenever I'm in LA, even for work, it feels like a vacation to me.
I mean, Philip and I, my husband and I, are always like, look at these people at this restaurant. Nobody works. Nobody works in Los Angeles. But then people do disappear for 3 months at a time because they're on set or they're on location. They're in New Finland. Who knows? You know, shooting a movie. But then when you have time off, you have time off. And I'm a church person, and my husband now works for our church, and it's just so nice to like kind of be like a Mrs. Church lady on Sundays, you know what I mean? Even if it's virtual right now.
Yeah.
And just like take a break from my New Yorkaholic that still functions now virtually even more. I'm a little more on edge because I don't have to be in the LA scene. I'm in my house all day.
Yeah.
But my mom still is like, you're still a New Yorkaholic, like in Los Angeles. It's fine. And so like there's sometimes a little bit of a clash in Los Angeles with that attitude of hustle. But Los Angeles keeps me like, it keeps like a short rein on me to like chill and lean back a little bit. So it's a nice balance. I can have coffee again is what I mean.
I got you.
Because I couldn't in New York. Like it would just like make my heart like jump to my throat and like at 8 a.m. and I couldn't like finish a sentence without being out of breath. And so now it's a nice balance here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, sometimes I have to stop myself like in here because I'm like, wait, this is my third coffee. I need to really stop.
I need to hydrate. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh my God, there's water? My organ's always like, oh my God, he's drinking water? Like what?
I always like get so cramped. I remember like the beginning of COVID. I don't know if you ever had this, but like, oh my God, I have a sore throat. Am I, do I have COVID? Like, did you have that? Like the first
yes. Time? Yes. Like, so many times I was asking my boyfriend, I'm like, do you think we have COVID? Do you think I have COVID? Do you think like we're just going to stuck home like forever?
We're going to die. And like, no offense, no, you know, so much love and sympathy to everybody that has it. I haven't had it yet. Hopefully I won't, especially pregnant. But I remember before I was pregnant, like in March, Philip and I would have those paranoia moments. And I was like, no, I think it's because I just had champagne and pancakes.
Wow.
Because you're home and you're just drinking, you know, and you're like, well, I got pancakes. I'm just going to like at 3 p.m. and like you get that sugar crash and you're like, oh my God, I think I have COVID. You're like, no, it's just a sugar crash. Have some water, Gabrielle. Why don't you hydrate yourself? You'll feel better. Your body's like, what are you doing, man?
No, that literally happens with me because like nowadays, like I do like podcast recording right before this, I do like my YouTube video and everything. So like I sometimes like drink nothing in between, or I just drink coffee. Then towards the end, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, it's so like, what is happening? Do I have COVID? Like,
do I have COVID? No, I just don't have water. And so
yes,
it's amazing how much water like fixes so many problems.
Yes. So let's roll back a bit. So you are
I don't know where we went with that.
Yeah, I know. So you are originally from Texas. So how did that like move, like from Texas, I'm assuming from Texas you went to New York, or there is like
by way of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like not expecting that.
Before the YouTube days, I was in high school and middle school, and I was the first kid at the ballet bar and the last kid after class in ballet class working on my fouettes, you know, and I just was a dance studio rat, you know, and I loved it, like gym rat. I was a dance studio rat. I loved being there. I loved dancing, period. And it was not a competition studio. It was just a performative hobby studio.
Oh, so there was no like company or anything, right?
There was a company, but like in South Texas, the amount of exposure, the reason I always start the story with the before the YouTube days is that there was no exposure like there is now, mm-hmm. right? Where you can see and compare yourself to anyone around the world with what you aspire to be, like these kids can do now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Before you saw you think of dance and, you know, like you can watch, you know, London ballerina on Instagram and be like, oh, I would love to be her. And you're watching about a professional ballerina in Europe. A South Texas kid can do that now. I didn't have that. And so all I knew is that I loved to do it. And then we went to New York as a family trip when I think I was about 12, and I saw Phantom of the Opera. This is my first Broadway experience. Phantom of the Opera, Grease, and Big the Musical, and Romeo and Juliet at the ballet at Lincoln Center. And of course, Romeo and Juliet was just dreamy and beautiful, but still kind of like a pipe dream, still far away. You know, like it's this magical thing that you see and you're like, oh, that would be so beautiful.
Yeah, like I would want to do it, but like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like such a far away idea. And Phantom of the Opera is a classic and you just get to experience the full thing of Broadway. Grease, you know the movie and you watch that and you have a good time. But Big is the Tom Hanks film, like from the 90s. And it might have been on Broadway for like 2 weeks, but everybody was my age.
Wow.
Right? It was like middle school kids. And they were probably like full-fledged adults acting as 11-year-olds. But I remember getting like autographs from them at the stage door. And these kids autographed and then got on their skateboard and left. And it was a matinee that we saw. Mm-hmm. And like they were like, oh, they said to their other cast member, all right, see you later. Because they had an 8 o'clock show. And that's when the curtain was revealed. I got to see behind the curtain. I thought, oh, this is a job for people.
Like it's legit. This is legit.
I want to do that. I just remember thinking that. And I told my mom that. I was like, this I can do. And I just, because they were my age or they were at least acting my age. And it made sense. Like I could compare myself realistically with that idea. And so my mom suggested that I get into choir in seventh grade. And all of my vocal performance education is from public school, which I'm very proud to always share. And my dance training, I pursued that in college as a dance performance major in Oklahoma. That's where I went to school.
Okay.
I auditioned for Juilliard. I auditioned for NYU because the movies told me, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
I see. Yeah. You were like, oh, this is where people go. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then I had no idea, Merce, that a musical theater degree was a thing. That just didn't like in any way cross my mind or was never told to me, because musical theater performing arts was a hobby in South Texas at this time, mm-hmm. in comparison to it is now. And I really give social media a big reason that there's more kids that feel like I can do that. I want to do that. And so I went to school in Oklahoma City because I got accepted only to that dance school. And I'm so glad and grateful that I went there because it's a very musical theater dance program, not just ballet and modern. So you learn tap, jazz, ballet, contracts, anatomy, pedagogy, how to teach dance, which I also love to do. And it was a really awesome 4 years for me to like really get it together on how to be just more of a professional performer, just instead of like an aspiring, struggling performer being a waiter in New York. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the movies tell you, like, oh, you're gonna be poor and
yeah, you're gonna have like three jobs
and you're gonna have this magical break. Somebody's gonna find you on stage and pluck you out of the
and there it is,
star. Yeah. And it's like no, that's not how it works. You got to have a great resume, you got to have right contacts, you've got to make sure you show up on time, you got to make sure you're prepared for the right material, and like all of these things that are like not necessarily the most magical thing to share in a movie.
No.
Right? Like say The Last Dance. That was like the dance movie when I was a kid. And it was just so, I was so grateful that I had from like the ages of 18 to 22 or 21 to train a little bit more and more intensely to then go to New York at 18. I mean, to then go to New York at 22 after graduating. And things really hit off. I started with a chorus line, a first national tour. I was Deanna Morales, which was a dream role of mine, the only Latina in the whole show.
Yeah, you did mention that on the playbill. Yeah.
It's a show about dancers.
Yeah.
And it's also, you have to be able to sing well, especially that role. That role has a long, like, I would say about 5 minute solo. And then she sings the iconic song, What I Did for Love, that everybody mm-hmm. knows, even if you're not a performer. But if you are, and especially if you're a dancer, that song really, really means a lot. And I've been able to perform Deanna like in different later chapters of my life, and that song just gets more important and means more in different ways. You can really, it's so universal. And so, yeah. And then After A Chorus Line was my In the Heights debut. And I was, after that was my first slump in New York. Like I became poor and I didn't book a lot. And I realized, do I love New York City? And I did. Luckily I did. Like I got a great restaurant job and I auditioned and made sure things work. I even tried MLM, like, you know, pyramid scheme stuff. And it was great. Yeah. I almost earned a car. Okay, honey. And so like it worked out for me. But I have to say New York was kicking my ass and I still loved it.
Yeah. So would you say like at that time, you know, when you were doing the job, like other jobs, but like still going to auditions, you were like, is this really something I'm passionate about? Like, were you ever questioning it? Or you were like, no, I am set in stones. This is definitely like something.
I would say a little bit of both. The middle of it, of that is I would call my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I would have like callbacks for the next ensemble Broadway show.
Yeah.
And those callbacks start at 10 a.m. And then you sing, you dance and you sing like around noon, and then they keep you maybe to read some lines. So you're done like at 1. So 10 to 1 is like the callback time. And you start getting to know everybody at those auditions, like the same dancers or the same people. And by then, you know, the team, you know, the creators and, you know, the director and everything. And so like from 3 p.m. to 6, you get the phone call or you don't. Right. Like that day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get it. And so there came a, that's part of my slump season where I just was always close, but I would always call myself like B team. Like I was close, but not the first choice. And I would call my mom and cry and just be like, I don't know how to get to A team. I don't know how to get, what else do I need to do? I think I need to get my ass back in class. Right. Maybe.
Yeah. Like I need
acting.
To learn more, like try.
I need to learn more. Mm-hmm. I need to spend more money. And I would be sad. And my mom would say, well, she'd feel sorry for me and listen. But at the same time, I think her like motherly instinct was like, would say like, do you want to come home?
Oh, yeah. That's very like, generic. Yes. That's literally very, every like, parent would say.
Every
parent.
And I have to say, I'm very lucky that my parents were very supportive.
Yeah.
You know, just as financially as they could be, but also like aesthetically, like Gabrielle can. We believe in you. Like that's also from like a Latinx community.
Yeah, that matters a lot. I have to say that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say it's more typical the other way. Like, why aren't you being a doctor? Mijita, work for us. You know,
that's what my parents did. They're like, you have to study computer science. Like, what are you doing? Content create? Like, what? Like, that's not what Russian people do. That's not a real job.
So, I was lucky that they were supportive. But she said, "Do you want to come home?" And I told her every time. I said, "No. I just need to cry about it, and then I need to wash my face, go to sleep, and then just try again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be in a better mood, but right now I am on a low."
So would you say like during this time, like the 2020, because like, everyone definitely went through something.
2021,
you know?
Merce, it's 2021.
Oh my God, I forget. Seriously. No, because like, you know what they say about 2021? It's like they're saying it's 2020, but with a wig. So.
Oh my God, it's like, I mean, what day is today? January 27th. It's like January 57th for us. Like,
yes.
You know, it's just, I mean, no, December 57th. Yes. That's what it feels like.
Because I genuinely like don't feel like this is New Year. So I'm like 2020 no. Chapter 2.
You know what? I'm sorry for correcting you. You are so correct.
So would you say like you did something positive that like you just let go, or you did something so different out of your comfort zone to like keep yourself sane?
I got pregnant.
That's okay. I didn't think that you were.
I made a podcast. I produced a podcast and I got pregnant. Yes, those are two huge changes. I would have never made time to make a podcast. Paul Levine, when she talked to me about it, what our friends for,
mm-hmm.
We talked about it like in December of 2019.
Yeah.
January, February was like, what studio are we going to rent? She's also an actress. So pilot season is also going to, of course, take precedence on our schedule.
Yeah.
Like, let's book a show. Let's both of us book a show, whatever. And when COVID happened, we were like, well, this is all we have to do. And let's get on Zoom and let's figure out what Zencastr is. And let's find a production assistant if we can. And
Yeah.
we did. And it was just so nice to fill our time with that, as much as we did. And we grew like 1500% faster than I think we would have grown without COVID.
Yeah, that I 100% agree, because I feel
Thank
like
COVID.
I wasn't even expecting to like launch a podcast before I had actually was gonna have a contract with a podcast network, but COVID happened and contract fell through, so it did not work out. So, but yeah, it definitely changed like the whole dynamic that I was not expecting, because this is like the kind of way for me to like talk to people. This is my social,
It's your social
because
time.
yeah, like I don't get to see people except my
No, I
boyfriend.
well, except my husband, right? But like I have to say, it was nice since my husband works for our church. The church is empty, and
Yeah.
there's a vocal room with like cushioned walls that are like acoustic walls and stuff. And those panels and that space, especially in the summer when it's hot in our apartment or
Yeah.
condo, there's central AC at the church and it's quiet, and our dog can literally run around. It's like the apocalypse there. Like he and I are there with the dog and like
Yeah.
nobody else is. And so I get to like run my podcast company there while getting some work done. There's a kitchen. So we kind of have like a mini apocalypse escape building from our condo, which is very, very nice. And we see a few people on Sundays when we do our virtual live stream service, and
Yeah.
it's very contained and controlled and safe. But I have to say, like, I was ready to get pregnant in 2020, and January, when I miscarried in October of 2019, I waited 3 months or 2 months. We did like this huge RV cross country trip, my husband and I, in
That
2019
sounds
for
so fun. Now I really want to
Yeah.
do something like that.
We got so lucky we did it before the pandemic.
I know, I'm like, oh fuck.
Like, we went from LA to Grand Canyon. We saw friends in, we went to Muleshoe, Texas, which is like near Lubbock, that nobody needs to go to, but except for me, because I grew up there in the summers and it was like my home summer town. And I lived in a house, I lived, I, we lived in a haunted house. And so, like, I saw it for the first time in my adulthood. It was just so funny and cool. We stopped by Roswell, North New Mexico, where the aliens are. And then we stopped by like Mississippi, picked up my niece, not my niece. We went to Mississippi to see our, and Louisiana to see Philip's really good friends. Went to the panhandle of Florida to pick up my sister-in-law. And we drove all the way up to see my family in Virginia, where my sister lives. And then we went to Pennsylvania for Christmas, where Philip's is from. It was so much fun. It was also soy hard. Like,
I bet.
it was
I bet.
soy hard. Like, you have to be a team player. You have to be a MacGyver. But at the same time, you have to be teachable. When something breaks down or something is not working on your RV, you got to get on YouTube and be like, why does the heater not work anymore? And then
Yeah.
you can find the video and be patient to learn it. But there were some moments where like the ascending automatic staircases wouldn't go down, or they wouldn't come back up, and the RV won't go. It won't even let you shift
Work.
to drive
Oh my
because
God.
like the door has to close and lock
Yeah, safety
safely.
issues, yeah.
And so Philip and I were like not stranded, thankfully. We were at a gas station in Iowa, and we had to get bungee cords and force the stairs to be closed. And it's getting cold, and I'll never forget. I was like, Philip, what do you think like our other couple friends would do in this situation? Like, it becomes like a test, variable,
Yeah.
like a couple's test, like like
I would
what
totally
would you
open
do?
TikTok. That's all I would. I literally get 90% of my news from TikTok, which I feel like 90% of it is might be actually like wrong. It might not be even accurate.
Teach me TikTok because I don't get it.
No, because literally all I see on TikTok nowadays is like some people have vans now, and they have like their, van stories, like about like how they like literally turned a van into a fucking studio. Like it looks gorgeous. I'm just
Not a hundred,
like
yeah.
no, it just looks amazing, but I'm just like, there's no way.
There's no
Like
way. And like, there's
no
some
way.
friends of ours, like Sophia and David. We were like, Sophia and David would have left the RV and they would have called an Uber out in Iowa and
Yeah.
waited 3 hours for the Uber to arrive in Iowa. and just found a plane and flew back. And I said, and so, and then like Pallavi and Hari would have chewed out the owner on the phone and been like, I can't believe you walked in. And so I was just like, the amount of like variables of the way this would go for couples is just like one of those like couples therapy tests. And I mean, it was so much fun. It was so hard, but we loved it. I mean, we had a great time. We got to take our dog across the country and see a lot and not sleep a lot and just make tons of sandwiches, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to say, when 2020 happened and all of that, mm-hmm. pilot season didn't. It really didn't. It was my last, like, it was my last time to really go hard at the audition mm-hmm. process, to book another great show like Crazy Ex, just like
yeah.
professionally and financially, because we bought this condo. We wanted to rent it out and buy a house, which is very expensive in Los Angeles. And we
a good
we
one, especially like yeah, you want a good neighborhood, nice one,
right, and like
not under thing. A mil, like not even a mil,
not even it's like 1.4 minimum,
yeah, something like that.
And like we were just like ready, like to book another show like that, because that's why we moved here. And the fact that that didn't happen, and we were still able to like conceive and make time for that, it's just been a really cool like reinvention of myself, because I've always wanted to produce, and producing this podcast has now become like a live show.
Yeah,
and we have video shows and just get to talk to people and monetize. We have a merch. We have a shop. It's called
Watch. Yeah, I literally just saw that. That's like something so cool that I would say. Merch is definitely a good idea. Like I launched mine before that. It was like I would 100% recommend it, like for any podcasters.
And so if anybody was interested in seeing what I'm talking about, Waff podcast, WAFF podcast on Instagram. We are also on TikTok, but I don't run it, thank goodness.
And, is it Madison who runs it?
My assistant. We got very lucky with hiring volunteers that love the show mm-hmm. or loved Crazy Ex, and they're either in college or they just graduated. And these poor kids, I mean, I'm 36, I think I'm allowed to say that. These poor kids, they're like stuck at their house, their family home, when they were wanting to intern in New York, you know, or
yeah,
intern
exactly.
in Los Angeles. So they're interning for us, and it's really nice because they know Canva. They know all the new stuff.
Oh my God. Canva is my best friend, because I taught that to my intern, and she does, like, because I made like a template, and she literally just switches the pictures. Oh. Like, it's
yeah,
so
and
easy.
They do that, and they're digital content creators in a very different way than what I am. And so it's nice to divide and conquer, but also mentor. Like, I'm teaching them like how to talk on an email, or how do you talk to celebrities? Because we do have A-list celebrities coming on our podcast, and how not to be just a fan, but be professional, and you know, like
exactly.
And also, like we will recommend you and send referrals if you're gonna apply for NPR, because that's what you want to do. So it's not Madison. It's we have like a team of like five women, and it's transcontinental. Two of them, no, I think it's like six, and two of them are in Mexico City.
That's amazing. That
it's
is
so
really
cool.
Amazing. Yeah, that's one thing I'm like so happy, like, because this show wasn't just like, you know, like there are some shows that's like kind of like was popular at the moment then just mm-hmm. gone, but I'm so glad like there are fans of this show that like they're always like, you know, looking up to it. And I literally just even started rewatching it with my boyfriend, like, it's so funny. So what do you say, like, nowadays you do for fun? Like, you would be like, besides the podcast and besides the baby.
I'm so bad at doing things for fun. I'm so
or
bad
because maybe
it.
Together it was you and your husband. You were like, this is the fun times for us, like going for a walk.
We have so much fun working.
Workaholic. She's just still a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorkaholic. God, what do I do for fun?
Or would you say, like, this is something, like, when you're working, that is your mental health? Like, you're just, like, keeping yourself away from, like, just any distraction? And,
okay,
like, you're like,
okay.
Okay,
I'll say this. We did go to Rosie's Dog Beach last, like, mid-January. My birthday is mid-December, but I had a live show that day, and I was happy to do it. And it's right before the holidays, so even with pandemic, it was just intense, you know?
Yeah.
And I told Philip, I was like, there's this really great Long Beach beach that is off leash for dogs. And we went like in the summer of last year as one of our only outings. And I requested that for my birthday. I was like, I would like to go, even if it's in January, like, let's make time to go. And so we did that. And so walking on the beach or like doing nothing is my happiness, like hobby, because I will fill my calendar to the brim and overload it and just like be happy that I, you know, work hard, sleep hard. But there comes a point where I'm like, I need to just go outside and do nothing. And so
join a club. Like I love that. Like just doing nothing. I'm like, just sign me up.
It's so hard to commit to because Philip's big peak day is Sunday because of church. Mm-hmm. And then Monday gets ramped up fast. And so like for my assistant, Madison, and I, I'm like, we just need to hold Monday as holy as possible to have a day off because I won't give myself one. So you need to do it for me. That's why I hired her. I was like, you need to just hold on to Monday and schedule as much as you can on Tuesdays. So, because if not, I will burn out eventually. But at the same time, this pregnancy is reminding me that I have to take more time off and be kind to myself about it.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you mentioned that. There's one last question I want to say, as because I think you have, you know, experienced so much in just, you know, this industry. And there's so many people actually on this podcast, they are 18 to 20, like 90% of the, like, that's what the analytics say.
Hey, so kids.
So I want you to just give them advice on like, because a lot of them actually, the comments I have got through, like they don't have, they can't find a job, or they're kind of like going through some sort of like, you know, they're stuck at home, as you mentioned, you know, with their parents. What advice would you kind of give them to, you know, like move forward kind of for them, or if they're stuck sort of?
I would say short term, especially now, like trying to seize the moment, making the best out of quarantine and COVID. Virtual connection is a totally new ball game that should be exciting, especially for the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because you guys know how to TikTok. I'm telling you, I'm 36 and all A-list to B-list to C-list celebrities that you admire don't want to make time for it. Like they just like, I have to, like an old dog, new trick kind of thing. Like, oh my God, it spends so much time for me when I now have a kid, or I now, you know, my kid is homeschooled now. So I don't have time to be social. So, I don't have time to do social media for my fans and for my people. And that is how me personally, as the C-list celebrity, like it's wonderful to give back to the next generation by mentoring them if they're an aspiring actor, if they're an aspiring producer, to let them work for me, even if it's for free, because you are experiencing their work and their lifestyle and something that you would like. So I just want to say it's worked out for me times seven with seven volunteers working on What Are Friends For, and for me personally and professionally, to intern and volunteer and reach out to people that you admire and be like, hey, do you need an intern? Because I would love to run your social media, and I would love to sign a non-disclosure agreement and protect your privacy professionally. Here's my work. I can do this from home. Find that work that you can do from home that gives you like a day, like you wake up, have coffee, sit down, and you go to work, get dressed, you know, don't stay in your pajamas. It really makes a difference, because working from home before the pandemic, maybe 20% of America did it. I mean, I feel like I did. I don't know about you, but like, I feel like I was figuring out working from home very early and then like applying myself to go audition in a room that's not out in my house. Now that's become all in my house. Working from home hasn't really changed a lot. Like I already knew how to do this.
So yeah, it was like 50% for me, because like half of it was for photo shoots, but like now just they're all gone.
It's all here. Yeah, it's all here. So like you can run some of these social media like platforms for people that don't want to do it. And then you get that connection that I promise you will fulfill itself in like 10 years.
No, that's
and it's it's a 10-year job, guys. Like I quote unquote entered and did a lot of things for free in New York, like concerts, teaching, workshops for a lot of like aspiring Broadway choreographers. And I did a lot of that shit for free. And that was my intern years. And you're in your 20s, even 18 to 21, like, I mean, to like almost 27, 28, 30, you are interning, you are doing a lot of things for free. And the fact that you're home, you've got to spin it in your head that it's you're not paying for rent.
I 100% agree, because like you don't have any other rent. yeah
and your parents are feeding you. Set a boundary and be like, Mom, you can't come in here, you're not my, I'm working here, but thank you so much. Put some money into the groceries, go get groceries, whatever. Make them your roommates, like professional roommates, and just like make that lemonade out of this lemon that you're given right now, because you don't want to be behind when the world, I don't think it ever will go back to normal. It's never going to go back to normal. We are evolving. We are mutating, right? And this is going to be a huge part of any industry all around, all fronts, forever.
No, I 100% agree, because I feel like even that every single time people are always like, oh, it's going to go back to normal, anything like that. But I feel like normal is long gone. It's definitely going to be like so much virtual, like online shopping, online groceries. Like everything is totally changing because of COVID. I feel like it was eventually changing, but COVID just made it faster. So now we have to kind of adapt to it.
Exactly.
So I'm so glad, like you mentioned that.
I had an assistant, like, two pilot seasons ago that was in Los Angeles, and she would drive with me, she would run lines with me, and she would report and she would log everything that was going on. And right now I'm not going to those locations. I'm auditioning at home. So my Madison, shout out to Madison, my assistant, she's in Iowa and she just graduated in December from college. And she just is like, I would love to just eat and gobble up all that you're doing, because this is what I want to do. So she gets to experience it, be that virtual fly on the wall when the auditions come in. What are the details? What's the character description? When is it due? How many lines? When do I have time to memorize the lines? How am I going to set up? Do they need me in makeup? Is it just audio and video? Like, that's 9 things that I could have and teach her, and she can experience it. And especially with the voiceover stuff, like voiceover work right now is just at a prime, because you can do that at home so easily. I told Madison, I was like, watch the show that this is a part of, or look at the creators, the executive producers, and see what else they've produced, because that's the kind of style I need to bring to the table when I do the voiceover audition, because they're all different and they all have speeds and they all have different banter
style,
and everything like that. I said, so check out the lines. I said, and then press save, like, remember that show, even if I don't get it. Because it's going to show up in 2 years on Netflix, and you're going to see and be like, oh, that's what they wanted. Oh, okay. That's cool. Like, I understand what
they're looking for. Yeah.
Right, what they're looking for, and just translate that, read between the lines. I have so much fun teaching that too. There are a lot of people out there. I'm telling you, if you reach out and apply and just offer that, you could get a lot of great experience and keep learning while you're stuck at home.
Yeah. And I think especially because, like, nowadays everyone is at home, you just have so much potential to just, like, learn and experience so many things literally in the comfort of your home, like doing things for people, but just without living anywhere. Yeah.
And, like, if you're really good at TikTok, it is an industry. It is, people are making money off of it.
I mean, ask Charlie. Charlie D'Amelio is like 100 million. Hi.
Oh my God. Like, I'm just so lucky that I found youngins to be able to do that for whatever it's for, and for my own, just to, like, teach me, you know, and just skip a line where I don't have to do it by myself. But at the same time, like, if it's easy for you, I'm telling you, there are a lot of celebrities, executives that can probably afford to pay you too. Not
agreed,
just people that can't afford, like, I can't afford right now to pay someone out like that, but I'm, you know, bartering with mentorship. But at the same time, there are people out there that would take the help.
Yeah, agreed. So where can people find you? Tell us your handles, and I will also put the link in the description of the podcast so they can go check it out.
I love Instagram and Twitter. It's at Gabrielle Ruiz, GABRIELLERUIZ. And then I think on Twitter, I mean, I think on TikTok, I'm Gabrielle Ruiz Official, I think.
Okay, I will find it. It's fine, guys. I will find it.
I mean, it's really new. I finally, like, gave in, and, like, I posted, like, 4 things that don't have a lot of views. Anyone out there, I'm not kidding, if you want to run my TikTok,
She's accepting applications.
I'm accepting if you're okay with signing an NDA. Run my TikTok, because I was actually looking at it yesterday. I was like, okay, what are, like, pregnancy things that would be funny? And, like, I spent an hour on my phone just watching videos. You go down this rabbit hole, and I was like, I don't have time for this.
One thing I have to say, though, like, TikTok, literally, I waste, I think, sometimes 6 hours on TikTok.
Six
sometimes.
Hours, Merce? I don't have, no.
That's why I sleep at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
So if anybody wants to run my TikTok, this is a plea for help. Anyone around the world, I'm not kidding, you can email Madison.
Yes, tell them I sent you. Bye.
But also, What Are Friends For, though, do check out the podcast. It's WAFF Podcast, W-A-F-F Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, waffpodcast.com. You can leave us a voice message. We talk and dive in to the inners and outers, the fun and the not so fun conversations of platonic love, friendship. Because I think, because we truly believe it takes almost more work to work on your platonic friendships than your romantic ones.
True, true. Seriously.
I'm just like, see Merce's face right now. He's like, yep.
I'm like, okay, this is like, this. I feel attacked. Attacked. My friendships is like, needs work, a lot of work.
Listen to the pod. Listen, we have like a lot of fun guest friends is what we call them. And we also talk about vulnerable moments, like when your friends don't grow up with you, you know, and then like how you can apologize without making it about you. And then also to recategorize and set new boundaries with friends that do move on with your life. It's very interesting to talk about.
Yeah, no, those are amazing topics and very, very difficult topics to talk about, especially yes. Nowadays. I think because of COVID, there are a lot of people are going through this silence and your separation from friends and everything. Yeah. So I think those are very important to talk about nowadays.
And then check out our merch. It's waffshop.com.
Sounds good. I will definitely put all the links there. Thank you so thank much you. For coming to the podcast and, you know, talking to us.
I hope it was wild and basic enough.
It was. Okay. Definitely got some parts of it that I'm actually going to make a TikTok so I can post it and tag you.
Oh my God, please tag me. Tag me and then my future intern will redo it. I don't know how to do it.